الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has said, for as long as a believer recites salat, recites durood upon me, the angels continue to send blessings upon him. Now it is that person's choice whether he recites more or less. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are once again delighted to welcome you back into our silsila, where we are continuing with our journey at looking at different aspects of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi and the life of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi. And so far, if we have a quick mental recap, we have covered the greatness of the awliya e karam, then we covered the piety of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi's parents, and we covered the childhood of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi, and then we just covered some of his karamat, and we covered his akhlaqiyat, his manners and his character, and his generosity in particular, mashallah. And then after that, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, we have covered his ilm and the greatness and the great status he had in terms of his knowledge, and how he benefited the society, how much of an impact he had on the society. And inshallah azza wa jal, today we are going to be looking at his worship and his love for worship. And inshallah azza wa jal, we will try to open up this idea of what worship is, inshallah azza wa jal. And inshallah, once again, when we are watching this silsila, we should be watching with the intention that I am watching this and I'm listening to the love that Sayyidina Ghawth Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi had for worship and for worshipping Allah azza wa jal. And I should try to develop a similar love so that I enjoy my worship. When I'm worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, I enjoy worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. I enjoy my recitation of the Quran and all these acts that I carry out. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi was busy delivering a speech in an ijtima' at his madrasa, when a big snake fell onto him from the ceiling. The attendees, they got into a panic, but Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi, he did not even move from his place. The snake then wrapped itself around his blessed body, under his clothes. The snake then came out of his collar and wrapped itself around the blessed neck. But our murshid, the spiritual king of Baghdad, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, neither became frightened nor discontinued his speech. The snake then jumped onto the ground, stood on its tail and uttered something and went away. After the snake disappeared, people gathered around Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi and asked as to what it said to him. He rahmatullah alayhi replied that the snake said that it had tested many awliya of Allah azza wa jal, but had not found anyone as steadfast as him. Subhanallah azza wa jal. And it came out that the snake was actually a jinn that had come to test our Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi, who remained, by the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal, who remained steadfast. And if we listen to another account of the same snake, and we will truly get to admire the steadfastness of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi, and his love for worship as well. It is said, Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi said that once he rahmatullah alayhi was busy offering salah at Jami' Masjid Mansur, when that same snake came and placed its open mouth at the place where he, rahmatullah alayhi, was going to be performing sajda. Pushing the snake away, he, rahmatullah alayhi, managed to perform sajda. But then the snake, it wrapped itself around his neck. It then went under a sleeve of his and came out from the other. So it went under one sleeve and came out the other. When he, rahmatullah alayhi, finished his salah, the snake had disappeared. The next day, he, rahmatullah alayhi, went to the masjid where he, rahmatullah alayhi, saw a big-eyed man. And Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi, he realized that this man was not a human but a jinn. The jinn then told Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi that he was the same snake that had bothered him. And then the jinn goes on to say that in the form of a snake, he tested a lot of friends of Allah Azza wa Jal, but none of them was as steadfast as our Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi. Having said that, the jinn repented of his misdeeds in the blessed court of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we heard in the last silsila how some people repented at the hands of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi. But look at the greatness of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi. His benefit to the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is not only limited to humans, but even jinns are admirers of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi, and even jinns come and repent at the hands of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi. And also we have learnt with how much concentration and focus Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi would offer his salah. And then we as lovers of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi need to take this madni pearl on board, because on the other hand, when we offer salah, we are so heedless that even if a little fly settles on our body whilst we are offering salah, we lose our concentration, we lose our focus, and we can't even bear an itch. But you can see how much focus Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi prayed his salah, that even a snake could not distract him and could not put him off. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. We also have come to know that even jinns were the devotees of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Advising his disciples and devotees, Ghawth Azam Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, he said, during the days when I used to stay in the jungle, frightening faced troops of shaitan equipped with dangerous weapons, they would attack me. And they would throw flames of fire at me. But with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal, when I ran after them, they would disperse and they would all separate and run into different directions. Sometimes, shaitan would come alone and try to threaten me and frighten me into going elsewhere, tell me to go away from here, go somewhere else. But I would slap him, making him go away. I would then recite and read La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim, so he would burn. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So we've seen the steadfastness of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullah alayhi when he was in the jungle. And he was in the jungle in order to discipline his nafs, discipline himself, and dominate and overcome his desires and his ego and his nafs. And how beautifully he did that. We also learn that La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim. Reciting this, it's a beautiful remedy to make the shaitan run off. And so this is why when somebody is facing satanic whispers and wasawis a lot, he should recite La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-ali al-azim instantly. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, with this, he will be helped. Mufassir Shaheer Hakim al-Ummat, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullah alayhi, he writes that the Sufi-i-Kiram, the Sufis, they have stated that whoever recites La Hawl Sharif, meaning the full La Hawla wa La Quwata illa Billahi al-Ali al-Azim, 21 times, and then does them, blows on water, and then drinks it, inshallah Azza wa Jal, he will be saved from satanic whispers. And the shaitan, the waswasas of shaitan. Subhanallah. So 21 times in the morning and 21 times in the evening. Whoever does so and then does dump on the water, blows on water and drinks that water, inshallah, he will be saved from shaitanic whispers. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We also learn from this that Sayyidina Ghaath Azam rahmatullah alayhi, he went through a lot of trouble to discipline his nafs. And it is very difficult to overcome the nafs, overcome our ego and shaitan. And our Ghaath Azam rahmatullah alayhi, he had to struggle hard for many years to overcome and subdue the shaitan. And there is great lesson here for those of us who give up very easily. For example, we hear people saying, I have made many efforts for staying in the company of the Prophet ﷺ's devotees in the Madni environment. I traveled with many qafilas, Madni qafilas as well, but I could not yet overcome nafs and shaitan. And such Islamic brothers and everybody else who is struggling throughout their life for their to rectify themselves should seek help from Allah Azza wa Jal and continue with the journey. Do not give up. And this is the same when somebody repents, somebody who says, I commit sins and I repent, but I can't keep steadfast upon my repentance. I keep going back to sinning. This is another great lesson for such people, that do not give up and keep at it. We learn this. This is a Madani pearl that we pick up from the life of Sayyidina Ghaath Azam rahmatullah alayhi. Quoting Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, Allama Imam Sha'rani rahimahullah has written in the book Tabaqat al-Kubra, he quotes Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, that at the beginning I faced many hardships. When those hardships reached their peak, I lay on the ground and kept reciting verse 5 and 6 of Surah Alam Nashrah, which are as follows. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So without doubt there is ease with hardship. And by the blessings of these verses of the Holy Quran, all those difficulties were removed. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So my dear brothers, surely one has to make sacrifices to achieve something. We must sacrifice in order to obtain something. Our own Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, he also made many sacrifices. And he struggled hard in order to attain the closeness of Allah Azza wa Jal and the pleasure of his beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to overcome his nafs and the shaitan, remain safe and distant from sins and from the love of the world, and then in order to invite people towards goodness, and then gain many rewards like this. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, so many disbelievers came into the fold of Islam through his means, and all of that, he went through hardships before he got to that point. And although we cannot bear as many hardships as our Ghaath-e Pak rahmatullah alayhi did, we can at least make a little effort without actually giving up hope. We can make a little effort to continue to rectify ourselves, inshallah Azza wa Jal. And alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have utmost devotion and love for Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi. If we look at his life, he rahmatullah alayhi spent 25 years in the jungles of Iraq. And in this time, how did he spend these 25 years? Enduring extreme hunger. He went through extreme hunger and thirst. That why was this? In order to gain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So 25 years he spent enduring thirst and hunger in order to gain the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. If only we can also now make our Madani mindset to travel in the Madani Qafila for 3 days as lovers of Sayyidina Ghaath Azam rahmatullah alayhi. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Advising his disciples and his devotees, Sayyidina Ghaath Azam rahmatullah alayhi said, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, I managed to offer Isha and Fajr Salah with the same wudu for 40 years. For 40 years, I prayed Isha, I made wudu for Isha, I prayed Isha, and with that same wudu, I prayed Fajr as well. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And I kept the routine of reciting the whole Quran. Similarly, I kept the routine of reciting the whole Quran for 15 years. He recited the Quran in Nafal Salah. In Nafal Salah after Isha. So this was at night time. And at the beginning, He says, I would fasten a rope, I would tie a rope around my waist and tie the other end of the rope to a hook in the wall so that I would not fall asleep. In order to keep himself awake, he would do that. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. One night, when I intended to perform my usual worship, my nafs suggested that I take a little rest first and perform worship afterwards. Now, he was doing this to overcome his nafs. So he says, at that very same moment and place where that thought occurred to me, I recited the whole Quran standing on one leg. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So this was the devotion of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi. Not only Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi, many other scholars and other awliya kiram rahimahumullah ta'ala have witnessed this, and they have narrated how they saw and they witnessed Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi's love and devotion for worship. And Sayyidina Shaykh Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Abu al-Fath Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that I spent 40 years in the court of Sayyidina Shaykh Muhyiddin, Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Alayhi. And in all those 40 years, in that time, he Rahmatullah Alayhi would recite his Fajr Salah with the wudu that he kept from Isha Salah. The wudu that he made for Isha Salah, he would recite the Fajr Salah with that. And it was his ma'amool, it was his habit that whenever he needed to do wudu, he would remain in the state of wudu, and whenever he would need to do wudu, he would do wudu and he will straight away perform 2 rakat nafal. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah, we've also learned from here a routine of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi, that whenever he did wudu, he would perform 2 rakat nafal after that. And what are the blessings for this? Let me give you a summary of a narration which is narrated that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Sayyidina Bilal radiyallahu anhu that, O Bilal, what is the reason that I went to heaven and you were there. This is a summary of narration. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, what is the reason? What was the cause for that? And he replied, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whenever I do wudu, I pray 2 rakat nafal. So Subhanallah, so Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam replied, yes, this is the reason then for you being in heaven. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So we learn from this that the 2 nawafil after when you have done wudu, they carry a lot of reward. And this is called tahiyyatul wudu. These nawafil are called tahiyyatul wudu. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, in the Madri Inamat, Shaykh Tariqat Amir Ahl Sunnat Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah has given us a Madni Inam in which it states, the question is that did you today perform tahiyyatul wudu and tahiyyatul masjid at least once? So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, through the blessings of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi, let's all make an intention to increase our nafli worship as well, and especially whenever we get the chance to perform tahiyyatul wudu and tahiyyatul masjid as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyways, talking about Sayyidina Hazrat Ghawsi Pak Rahmatullah Alayhi, he loved worship and he loved the recitation of the Quran as well. So it is stated that Sayyidina Ghawsi Pak Rahmatullah Alayhi for 15 years, every single night he would finish the Quran Pak once. This was his routine for 15 years. This was his devotion, his love for worship. And also it is narrated that every single day he Rahmatullah Alayhi would perform 1000 rakat nafal. 1000 rakat nafal namaz. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is also narrated that for 15 years Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi, after the Isha prayer, he would stand on one foot and he would recite the full Quran. He would continue to recite the Quran until it dawn time, until Fajr time. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And mostly, for 1/3 of the night, he would recite 2 rakat nafal. 2 rakat nafal for 1/3 of the night. And in each rakat, he would recite either Surah Rahman or Surah Muzammil. And if he had to read Surah Ikhlas, then he would not read it below 100 times. Every time he recited Surah Ikhlas in those 2 nawafil, 2 rakat nafil, it would never be below 100 times, at least 100 times. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And he would keep fast during the day. So he was Qa'imul Layl and Sa'imul Nahar. He would stand for worship in the night and he would keep fast during the day. But Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, when we look at the worship of Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi, and then you compare that to the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal that he possessed, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, it is amazing. It is stated, Sayyidina Shaykh Sharfuddin Shirazi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he says that Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmahullah, he was seen in the Haram Kaaba and he had placed his forehead on the pebbles and he was praying in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, O Allah Azza wa Jal, forgive me. O Allah Azza wa Jal, forgive me. And if I am worthy of punishment, then raise me blind on the day of judgment. Raise me blind on the day of judgment so that I am not ashamed and I'm not humiliated in front of the pious people. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And we have heard about Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi spending his night in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, spending his life in the zikr and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. But this is the reality of the pious people. No matter how many good deeds they carry out, they never feel that that's enough, that's something big. They never feel that that's an achievement. They always consider themselves as sinful and low people. And this was the way our pious predecessors lived our life. Now, bringing ourselves towards the end, if you recall and remember the first hikayat, the first narration of the story that we mentioned at the beginning of this silsila, it was that Sayyidina Ghawsi Azam Rahmatullah Alayhi was delivering a speech. Now some of us may think, how has that got any connection with worship? And this is where we need to really open up our idea of worship so that we realize what worship really in essence is, what are good deeds, because we have this concept that good deeds are hard to perform and because of that people are put off. Initially some good deeds might be hard. For example, we've got the salah, the prayer of the Tahajjud, which requires you getting up in the night and then doing wudu and then praying at the Tahajjud namaz. Now initially that might be hard, but that's a deed which you, if you carry it out for a while, you will get used to and you will get into a habit of doing that. So then it becomes easy for you. But the greater and the harder the worship is, as it is stated, Afdalul Ibadati Ahmazuha, the best of worships is the one that is the most difficult. And it is stated in Tazkiratul Anbiya, Sayyidina Ibrahim bin Adham Rahmatullah Alayhi. He states that the harder a worship and a deed is to carry out in this world, the greater and heavier it will be on the Mizan on the Day of Judgment. But not every deed is hard. We just have to open up our idea to what good deeds are, what worship really is. Let me give you some simple good deeds to end the silsila with, which inshallah, if we can make an intention to carry these out on a daily basis, inshallah, we will benefit. So some good deeds that we can carry out, some simple good deeds is reading Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim before starting anything permissible. And doing the dhikr of Allah Azza wa Jal, reading the Quran by looking, we get the sawab for reciting the Quran. And also we get the sawab for looking at the Qur'an, reciting Durood Sharif upon the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in abundance. And we hear the blessings for this again and again, the blessings of reciting Durood upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is a means of having our du'as and our prayers accepted. This is a remedy and a means for us if we want our prayer to be accepted, Durood Sharif. Begin and end it with Durood Sharif. It's a beautiful way to have our dua accepted. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Acting upon the different sunnahs of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Doing wudu. Reciting Bismillah walhamdulillah before wudu and then remaining in the state of wudu, all of these, even sleeping with wudu in the state of wudu, this is an act of worship and an act that brings about good deeds. And then just loving the masjid, staying within the masjid, that's a means of obtaining good deeds. Saying salam to someone, being the first to say salam, increasing words in your salam. So rather than just saying assalamu alaikum, you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You meet a person cheerfully and speaking softly with people, entering happiness into the hearts of another Muslim and concealing faults looking at your own parents with love and affection, these are all means of good deeds. These are all means of good deeds and simple good deeds which do not require any effort from us. And subhanAllah Azza wa Jalla, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught us to never take any good deed lightly and never consider any good deed a small one. Even if it is just looking at our Muslim brother with a cheerful smiling face. It is stated in a hadith, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. So, do not consider any good deed a small one, even if it is meeting your Muslim brother with a cheerful face. So, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we have learned that the circle of good deeds is actually a very broad and a wide one. And we have learned how much love Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullahi alayhi had for worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, for carrying out good deeds. So inshallah Azza wa Jal, let's make an intention to carry out as many good deeds as possible on our daily basis. And one of the good deeds, as was mentioned, was concealing the faults of others. And this is a major problem in our society. Through the blessings of Ghawth Azam rahmatullahi alayhi, we're learning regarding the life of Sayyidina Ghawth Azam rahmatullahi alayhi. Let's also make an intention to improve ourselves, to better ourselves. And let's make an intention that inshallah Azza wa Jal, I am going to make it a habit to conceal the faults of other Muslims. Now before we end our silsila, let me mention to you the blessings of concealing the faults of another Muslim. The summary of a narration narrated by Sayyidina Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu an, that whoever sees a fault in his brother and then he conceals it, he will be entered into heaven. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. So whenever we hear when we see any fault in our Muslim brothers and we don't have any shari'a reason to express and expose that fault, then we should always try to conceal it. But where there is other people, the danger of other people being harmed by that bad habit of his, for example, then you want to tell them. For example, you tell this brother that, you know, so and so, if he asks for money from you, do not give him money because he does not return it. Now you're trying to benefit him. Now this is a valid reason for you to express and expose that fault. Otherwise we should try to conceal that fault and inshallah Azza wa Jal earn rewards through that. So may Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the ability to remember, act upon and pass on to others what has been said. And may Allah Azza wa Jal forgive any mistakes that have made in this silsila. And inshallah Azza wa Jal, just keep watching Madani channel. Stay tuned in with Madani channel and the different programs and the silsilas of Madani channel. And invite others to do the same. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us all blessings. Ameen. Bijahi Nabil. Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Blessings of Allah. Say Azam.